Hello and welcome to Digital Insights, featuring topics from the BoagWorld.com blog. My name is Paul Boag, and on this podcast I offer advice on user experience and digital transformation. Today I want to talk a little bit about the user experience of smart home devices. But I want to start by telling you about a workshop that I ran recently. I was running a workshop on digital transformation for a group of CEOs who represented a cross-section of consumer electronic brands, companies that provided everything from fridges to microwaves to TVs and air conditioning units. This fact proved somewhat ironic as the group struggled to work the air conditioning with its fancy smart controller and failed to connect my laptop to the smart TV in the workshop. A group of experts were flummoxed by their own technology. The experience that day spiked my interest and led me to delve into the world of smart devices in order to understand what was going on in the sector. The research has resulted in me buying and installing a large range of devices to test, devices that included smart speakers like Google Home and Alexa, smart plugs including ones from Belkin, Smart Things and Smart Life, smart lighting such as the Lightwave RF range, smart thermostats including the To-Do and the Nest, smart locks such as those provided by Yale and Nuki, smart printers including the HP Tango, robot vacuum cleaners including the Roomba and the D-Bot, smart TVs from both Sony and LG, and smart windows and blinds from Velux. When my money eventually ran out, I'd still barely scratched the surface of what was available. It seemed that everything from microwaves to kettles can be smart these days, and what I didn't buy, I read about. I've also spoken extensively to various smart device suppliers from brands such as British Gas to Morphy Richards. So what was the conclusion of all of this research that I did? Well, in the majority of situations, the user experience sucked. The number of issues I encountered fitting, setting up and using smart homes devices is frankly staggering. Devices are routinely advertised as not requiring a professional to install when this is blatantly not true. For example, my wife used to be a professional engineer, but fitting the Lightwave RF switches proved an almost insurmountable challenge. Compatibility is also regularly a huge issue. Smart locks are a great example of this. It's almost impossible to discover whether a smart lock will fit your door, and many US locks are sold and marketed in Europe despite failing to conform to European standards. One of the biggest pain points turned out to be apps associated with these smart homes devices. Even a quick look at the App Store reviews make it obvious that the standard of associated apps is, well, let me say, low. And that was certainly borne out by my personal experiences. To make matters worse, every device has its own app, leading to an overwhelming number of interfaces and options for consumers to battle with. Then there are the software challenges around getting these devices to talk to one another. Products are advertised as being compatible with services like Google Home, Alexa, HomeKit, or if this, then that. Although this is technically correct, it took all my 23 years' experience of working with technology to make this happen in many cases. How companies expect a normal homeowner to do this is beyond me. If I'm honest, a big part of the problem was that most of the instructions sucked. Often instructions were nothing more than a few illustrations supposedly taking the user through the setup. This has been done to avoid the translation costs involved in producing a proper manual, but leaves the instructions woefully inadequate. This is especially true when the instructions relate to the assembly or installation of a particular product. But don't expect to get much help from calling technical support either. Routinely, the people staffing these lines don't have a deep understanding of the products that they're supposedly supporting and simply suggest that you find a professional to help. A professional that in many cases they can't recommend or help you source. There's also no guarantee the device will continue working even once it's set up. Devices typically recover poorly from power or connectivity outages and can require intermittent rebooting. Even the Google Home regularly fails to live up to what you would expect from the company. Their iOS app is painfully slow and unresponsive at times, while the Home itself would regularly tell me that it couldn't connect to lights or other smart home devices when it had successfully done so. In short, the smart home experience is crying out to be fixed. But before that can happen, we need to understand why it's so bad in the first place. The heart of the crisis in the smart home experience is that most of the companies producing these devices just don't have the appropriate user-centric culture. In most cases, these are traditional consumer electronic companies that have felt compelled by the market to move into the smart home sector. They have seen digital disruption in other fields and attempted to respond quickly to companies like Google, Amazon, and Nest. The problem is that these companies have recognized that they need to adapt, but they tend not to have the clarity of vision, culture, or expertise to make it happen successfully. This lack of skill set manifests itself in four ways. First, I got the distinct impression from my research that most smart home devices began life with companies looking at their existing product range and asking how they could make a smart component fit it. For me, this is exemplified by the Samsung Family Hub, where the company essentially bolted a tablet onto the front of a fridge. What problem exactly is this solving? Yes, people do tend to stick things on fridges, but simply making that electronic doesn't make it better by default. This Frankenstein approach to combining existing products with new technology fails to address a real user need or pain point. The fact that most companies seem to adopt this Frankenstein approach is hardly surprising, as in most of my conversations with consumer electronic companies, this kind of innovation is being driven by the engineering team, teams that have little knowledge of user experience principles or even market research. This is also perfectly demonstrated by most of the interfaces associated with these products, whether built into the app device itself or in an associated smartphone app. Most of these interfaces are like stepping back in time. They're making all the same mistakes as early mobile phones or even the good old-fashioned VCR. They're heavy on features and consequently incredibly hard to use. Take that air conditioning unit I mentioned in the workshop I was running. We could clearly see that it had functions to do everything from scheduling to responding to ambient temperature in the room, but none of us could work out how to simply set the temperature at that very moment. Then there's how most of these smart home products are actually developed. Based on my research, they were run as traditional projects, linearly progressing through from conception of idea through to creating a specification, to the build, and then finally to that shiny interface at the end. There was little prototyping, iteration, and most importantly, little testing with real users. They were essentially working blind. Also, in line with traditional project management methodology, there is little long-term ownership over these products post-launch. Once live, the only real updates seem to be around the app and squashing any associated bugs. There is no monitoring or ongoing evolution of the product and the associated experience. Finally, there is a lack of joined-up thinking associated with these smart home products and no consideration to the end of the end-to-end experience. That's mainly because of the siloed nature of more traditional companies. It seems that a product is often created by engineering largely in isolation. It's then sold by marketing and supported by the customer service team. There seems to be little evidence of these departments working together to create a pleasurable and integrated experience. However, as with everything, there were a few outliers in my research, and it is worth looking at these in more depth. Fortunately, it's not all doom and gloom in the smart home space. There are one or two experiences that showed up and were pleasantly surprising at how great smart home devices could be. The installation and use of my Nest thermostat is a great example of this. In my test, I bought and installed the Nest Thermostat E and was blown away at the experience from beginning to end. For a start, the Nest website provided me with detailed information answering every question I had about the product and its installation. Even before I'd ordered, I felt confident that I'd be able to install the device and that it would do what I wanted. When the Nest arrived, the unboxing experience was reminiscent of an Apple product, leaving the user with the impression they'd purchased a quality product. Now, that's in stark contrast to many of the other purchases that seem to have been shipped straight from China in what I can only describe as a cardboard box. The help installing my Nest was almost laughably good. The level of detail in the instructions verged on patronising at points, but left no room for error. They provided stickers for labelling cables, a detailed video guide, and even a wizard for identifying your particular system. Yes, they had the obligatory Nest app, which I have to admit was very well designed. However, after installation, I've barely opened it again. The interface on the Nest itself is simplicity personified, and its tight integration with Google Home made the app feel redundant after installation. Talking of Google Home installation, this was impressive too. Instead of requiring you to use some magic combination of command words and temperature settings, you could simply tell it that you were cold and it would turn up the temperature. Now, that's in stark contrast to fighting with the air conditioning unit in my workshop meeting room. Of course, you would expect to get this kind of ease of use from a startup that's now owned by Google and was founded by Apple employees. But I encountered another delightful experience that surprised me more. Smart printers have been around for a while, and generally speaking, they're fairly poor. They consist of adding internet connectivity to solve problems that nobody's ever had. They allow you to do things like print remotely, which I struggle to think of a situation outside of very niche work environments where that would actually be helpful. However, the HP Tango X is different because it solves a real user pain point with printers, and that is running out of ink. With the HP Tango, you can subscribe to their ink subscription service for a tiny monthly fee, and whenever you run low on ink, the printer will notify HP, who will send you out a new cartridge before you run out. Sure, it was impressive that they'd solved this real user pain point with technology, but to be honest, that is quite a low bar to set ourselves. What really impressed me is the fact that they'd done so with zero effort on my behalf, while also securing a new revenue stream for HP. Think about it for a moment. I didn't have to open an app or use an interface. Instead, a new ink cartridge just turned up at my door exactly when I needed it. I did nothing and the interface was invisible. As Golden Krishna says in his book, the best interface is no interface. Then there's the fact that HP had secured a regular revenue stream from their customers for this convenience. Like most people, before this printer, I bought cheap knockoff versions of printer ink, and that was revenue that was lost on HP. They didn't get it. But with this service, they both improved my experience and regained that lost revenue. Genius. There are other glimmers of good experience beyond those two examples above. However, all too often, they were undermined by some other aspect of the experience. And that's the problem with creating a great user experience. It has to encompass the whole experience. Otherwise, one bad element can taint the whole thing. How then can they make things better? How can we create a truly great smart home experience? The answer to the smart home challenge lies in all the same areas that digital services have been struggling with for years. The smart home sector needs to learn from these mistakes and adopt some of the best practices that are now emerging. I apologise, but this is where all the buzzwords come in. Smart home manufacturers need to be adopting design thinking, lean UX and agile working practices. They need to be prototyping, testing and iterating their way to solutions rather than just skipping to the final product. However, most of all, they need to be working collaboratively across business silos to start solving these problems. Marketers, designers, developers, engineers and customer support staff all need to unite around a user-centric approach focused exclusively on addressing user pain points rather than just pushing an also-ran product to market. Fortunately, I have hope that this will happen because it's happened before. Almost all new technologies go through this cycle. In the early days, the aim is just to get a working product to market. Prices are high and the experience is poor, but it's enough to win over early adopters. Next, the sector starts competing on features, and as a result, products often become bloated and hard to use. In time, the technology becomes cheaper, to produce, and so companies then start competing on price. But in the long term, that's unsustainable. So eventually, it becomes about creating the best experience possible. At the moment, smart home products are still in the early days. Some products are just coming to market, others are becoming bloated with features, and still others are mature enough to start competing on price. If you've seen the price of smart plugs these days, you will know how ridiculously cheap they've become. However, smartphone manufacturers can't afford to be complacent. They need to start focusing on improving that experience and providing the convenience that consumers will pay a premium for.